Innovation Rockstars. Innovation Rockstars.
In this episode, we are joined by Dr. Kirsten Hufle, Vice President R&D and Product Management at Kerber Supply Chain.
Hi, and welcome back to Innovation Rockstars. My name is Chris Müroth, and in this episode, I am really excited to welcome Dr. Kirsten Hufle from Kerber Supply Chain. As Vice President R&D and Product Management, Kirsten is responsible for the product portfolio and its future viability. Very interesting, and I'm very much looking forward to this conversation. Thanks a lot for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. Really excited to be here with you today.
All right. So as always, we start straight away with a short 60 seconds introduction sprint. So Kirsten, this is all about you, your career, and your current role at Kerber Supply Chain. So for the next 60 seconds, the stage is all yours. Let's go.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I work at Kerber Supply Chain in the business area automation. So to make it very short and simple, we are a globally acting system integrator for intralogistics solutions. And we have an own portfolio of software and hardware, and that's basically what I'm responsible for in my role. I'm heading our matrix organization for R&D and product management. And of course, and that what we are talking about today, innovation is an integral part of it. So a little bit to myself, logistics has a kind of red line across my CV. So first touch point I had at the University of Bremen, where I studied economics and engineering. Then I moved on to Switzerland, did my PhD at the chair of logistics management in St. Gallen. And then I joined the industry. I joined Swisslog in 2014, stayed there 4 years before I joined Kerber in 2018. And that's now where I am. So I know the industry pretty well, I would say, and looking forward to discuss a little bit with you on innovation today.
That's great. So logistics from many different angles sounds really interesting. Okay, so now what I want to do next is I will want to give you three sentence starters, and I would like you to complete those sentence starters. So let's see what happens. Number one is, to me, sustainability means...
It means a lot these days. It's definitely a topic we will not come around, and we may not come around in the future, and it will also shape innovation in all areas, not only in my area. It's not only about product. It will occur everywhere, but of course, especially relevant to me, how it will shape the development of new products and solutions of our customers.
Makes sense. All right. So, and this is kind of connected with a sentence starter number two. Sentence starter number two goes like this. It's a very short one, actually. Innovation is...
not easy, especially not easy if we plan for it. But of course, it's really a joy if we make it or if it just happens, right? And it's definitely more than talking about new products or services, right? Innovation is really a big field. So it's not an easy answer within one sentence.
Yeah, 100% agreed. It's actually great that you gave this answer. All right. And then finally, number three, one thing that really annoys me is...
Yeah, the first thing that comes into my mind when you ask me this is, even though it might be incorrect, if we are not questioning what we are doing. Because I think this is really, really important, especially if we talk about innovation, right? We have to question what are we actually doing. And I think it limits innovativeness if we are not constantly questioning things and also ourselves.
Yeah, that's interesting. And actually, you know, just a few weeks ago, maybe, I watched an interesting video on YouTube. And one thing that was in that video actually stated that one of the hardest things in innovation is actually to say no, to stop doing things, because it's actually, you know, easy to start new things, right? Start new projects, start working on a new product, start, I don't know, you know, just exploring things, but it's really hard to stop things. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Because we kind of admit failure. And I mean, you can read it everywhere. That's part of an innovation culture also, right? To have a failure culture. But still, I think it's not that easy to say no. And yeah, letting a topic go, and it might be really a very passionate topic, right? That's usually what innovation is about and how it happens, because someone has a passion for something or an idea, right? And that's, I fully agree. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard, right? And interesting. So maybe, you know, let's start, talk about some of the recent, you know, trends in logistics and maybe global supply chains first. And I'd be interested to understand from your point of view, what would you say, what is the health of our global supply chains today? And I know it's kind of a large question, right? But just from your perspective.
Yeah, it is a large question, but I don't think that I even have to convey a personal opinion here or a personal view, because everybody these days can observe that our global supply chains are not healthy, right? I mean, we can even feel it in our private lives, right? That global supply chains are not healthy when we talk about traveling, we talk about the delivery of things, right? And of course, this hits the industry much more if we talk about the availability of chips or electronic products, steel, aluminium, sometimes even wood. Yeah. But of course, also the availability of transportation modes, like sea traffic is delayed, the harbors are running full. So it is a completely new situation, I would say. Nobody had expected it that way, right?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of true. And so you have pressure on this side, right? And at the same time, there is also a lot of change going on. And obviously, as always, the speed of change is also accelerating. You know, there is new technologies enabling sustainability, as we discussed before, and this is going to increase. Then, you know, you have topics such as energy efficiency in cold chains, or there is trends on, I just read on your website, on dark warehouses, for example, right? So warehouses without lights and without people, paper-free warehouses and so on. So if you were to look at what's happening right now, what are some of the hottest trends on your radar right now?
Yeah, I think you already named a few, and everything around sustainability and energy efficiency, that's really a super hot topic. I mean, we could observe this energy efficiency, green warehousing already a couple of years back, actually, when I started with the industry, that was around 2014. It was already a hot topic, but nobody was really willing to pay at that day, right? But now, I mean, also, unfortunately, given the global crisis and the raise in energy prices, this becomes a hot topic, a really hot topic, right? And I think also the awareness in society about sustainability topics has another dimension right now. So this is driving a lot, and I think will drive innovation, as I said in the beginning, a lot in the future. What is also a big trend, or let's say driver, is labor shortage. And this is actually what is driving automation a lot, right? It's not that we want to replace human workers. There are simply no workers that we can find for warehouses or even producing companies, right? So this is driving automation, not only in intralogistics, I would say in all kind of industries. And from a pure technology perspective, for sure, it's everything around artificial intelligence, machine learning. I mean, it's been a buzzword, we could already say, since a few years, but I think we're getting there, finding really relevant use cases. So these I see as the big trends and drivers.
I think so. And, you know, that's as with most of new and emerging technologies, right? Until you reach kind of the plateau of productivity, just take some time. And before that, there is a lot of maybe, you know, uncertainty or doubt or FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, right? Later on, you have some fear of missing out. And in between, you have peak of inflated expectations and so on. It's kind of always the same thing. And specifically in the sustainability area, my feeling at least is that sustainability initiatives have been focused on the manufacturing side quite a bit, right? But now, obviously, the spotlight is also on, as you said before, warehouse, transportation, energy efficiency in those areas. So do you have any, you know, sense, any idea on how sustainability should actually be addressed in those areas going forward?
Yeah, I think what is key, and I think this is now the awareness that has already been created in the industry, that sustainability initiatives have to focus on the entire supply chain, right? Yeah. You said, okay, maybe it started a bit with manufacturing. Of course, if we look at the energy consumption in manufacturing or also when we produce products, yes, that's relevant. And also our products that are used with the customers consume certain amount of energy. So the energy consumption of whatever is always relevant, but of course it's to optimize your entire supply chain, how also to measure greenhouse gas emissions across the entire supply chain, right? There are a lot of initiatives ongoing on the greenhouse gas protocol, and of course this is also something we're taking into consideration, how to measure, how to aggregate, basically, because we also want to avoid double counting, and how can we really show that we make an impact? Because I think that's making the difference, right? It's not just like do reporting for reporting, right? It's because we want to make the world a better place to live at the end.
Which is a large mission, right? And so you have kind of many, you know, pressure points, right? You have the emerging technologies, you have the obviously the trends are going on, the desperate need for more sustainability, more energy efficiency, and all that stuff. So obviously, you know, supply chain challenges become increasingly more complex. Of course, you have even more, maybe, you know, suppliers and distribution channels and ways how to transport stuff. And then you have rising consumer expectations, specifically on sustainability, also on packaging, when it comes to, you know, the end consumer and so on. So what do you think, given where logistics is today, do you think that's enough to be ready for tomorrow? Or if you say no, you know, where do we most urgently have to innovate? I mean, we have to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. And I think, yeah, of course, depends on whom you're talking for. Yeah. But you already mentioned an interesting stakeholder, and that's the end consumer. Mm-hmm. And I think the awareness at the end consumer has changed dramatically, right? Because in the past, I mean, when 20 years back, how often did you receive a parcel at home? Rarely, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
So you have really not been in touch with logistics and with supply chains. And now also given the crisis, you have a completely different kind of awareness. So I think one area where we urgently need innovation to happen is the last mile, because there's changed expectations from the end consumer, and we have huge challenges in the last mile delivery, right? I mean, it's not that you get a parcel delivery once a day. There are five different service providers ringing your bell, right? And then we have the traffic congestion in the city centers. A lot of people are discussing these topics of last mile logistics, urban logistics, you name it. But I think that's where it's really potential and where we don't really have the one solution. A lot of cool ideas, but kind of all isolated, like smaller islands. And I'm really looking forward to see the big picture and somehow an initiative getting moving this topic forward, right? But I think it will also be a different kind of stakeholder set, like an ecosystem, because no one will be able to solve this on his or her own, right?
And that's interesting, right? Because at the same time, we also have a similar last bar discussion in passenger transportation, right? And you know, at least these days, so we have 2022 right now, but you see all these, you know, e-scooters in the city, maybe broken, maybe still, you know, imperfectly working fine on the streets, laying down. I see actually, you know, a lot of drunk people using them all the time after 2 a.m. or something, just, you know, that's another discussion, but it's the same discussion on last mile transportation, right? So how do you get from the main railway station, for example, to, you know, your destination or to your home? And it's interesting that logistics is kind of discussing this at the same time, which obviously makes a lot of sense, because that's something that's maybe not too been too prominent in the past, but it's really, really urgent right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's even I thought there was a great example for innovation in the last mile passenger transportation. I mean, yeah, when did it start with these scooters? A year before Corona, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then we had to install like five different apps for five different types of e-scooters. Yeah. But what do you want as the end consumer? Just transportation. And just recently, I visited Hamburg, and the city of Hamburg, or the public transportation organization of Hamburg, they have released an app where all means of transportation you can control, right? So taxi, public transportation, the e-scooters. So someone is orchestrating what is happening.
Interesting.
And I think that would also be, if I talk about an ecosystem, also something for the last mile. Who's orchestrating all the parcel delivery companies, right? So good far, question. None is doing. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody right now. Interesting. Okay. And then now, before we dive deeper into some, you know, more innovation talk in logistics, what I would love to do, Kerstin, is actually to play a quick game. And the game is called, it's a very simple game. The game is called Either Or. And this is how it works. Again, really simple. What I would like to do is I will give you two options, option one or option B. And you choose one of those options and then maybe spend one or two sentences each to explain why you chose a certain option. So let's see what happens. Number one, it's actually already quite kind of intense. So would you either say that in a few years from now we'll actually have those dark warehouses, or that warehouses will never be ready to operate without any humans, and why?
Even though I work for an automation company, I think warehouses will never be ready for automate 100% without humans. Why? I think we could compare it maybe with the limit of a function in math, right? Mm-hmm. So we're always getting closer and closer and closer, but I don't believe that we will be there 100%, but very close in some areas, definitely.
So there is no black or white. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, and number two, now that's an easy one, right? What do you enjoy more, summertime or wintertime, and why?
Ah, that's not an easy one. There are so many great aspects of both. but I would say the summer, just the snow is missing.
Summer without snow. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and because I love the mountains, right? Yeah. I love the mountains. That's the explanation behind. So, but just for skiing, the rest of the winter with all the icy streets and so, I'm not missing that. So I decided for summer.
Yeah, that can go away, right? And it's, I guess, a more challenging time for logistics too, right? Winter and stuff, so...
Yeah.
At least, but you need no cooling. Okay, at least not as much cooling. Well, okay, there is pros and cons. I get it. Okay, and finally, number three. And that might be a trick question, actually. What do you think is more effective for innovation? Is it either market pull or is it technology push?
Effective for innovation is probably technology push, but I say if I have a realistic picture on it and look at our industry and our geographical market, I would say it's market pull. If I look on what's happening and how are we capable to innovate, I mean, the market is a bit crazy if you look at the tech market and the investments that are done in startups, but that's mainly in the US or in China where you have this huge risk capital, which is differently in Europe. So there's kind of a risk averseness on the markets we're acting at, or at least in Europe. So what is realistic in the logistics industry? I think it's market pull, unfortunately.
For real innovation,
right? I mean, I was just listening to another podcast this morning and they did a catch up of the Logimat. They were like, but the real innovation... we didn't see. So the Logimat is one of the biggest intralogistics fairs in Europe, right? Or logistics fairs. And so they say, we didn't see the next big thing. And I think that's true, right? But I think if a next big thing to happen, then it would be a technology push. But it's difficult to really search for it, yeah?
And it's very capital intensive, as you already said, right? And this is an ongoing debate, at least for maybe a few decades, right? In the technology space, in basically in business, not even the technology space, but in business, to be honest, you know, what's right for really driving the next big wave of innovation or big innovation. And historically, I mean, it's often been connected to technology, right? I mean, you had the computers, you had the internet, and nobody was asking for internet. Nobody was asking for things on that turned out to be a great technology. Nobody was really asking for artificial intelligence. Nobody was asking per se for a smartphone, for example, right? So things happened and great technology emerged, but then obviously it took many, many years to actually grind it into something useful for the masses. So this is an interesting debate. So you would rather opt for technology push if we would say the next big wave for innovation. Did I get this right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm totally with you. As you said, nobody asked for the iPhone, right?
And right.
I mean, of course, a lot of companies are striving for the next big thing, but I think that is the real challenge that I don't know how to plan for it, right? I mean, otherwise I would be a billionaire already. That would also be pretty cool, but...
Why not? Yeah, that would be an interesting life too, right? And then how do you keep basically eyes and ears open, you know, for understanding at least what's happening on the market, for example, concerning the market pull or even then new technologies or new applications for technologies? How do you do that at Körber?
Yeah, I think that's pretty hands-on. I mean, we have to what is super important, we have to stay in touch with the market and with the customers, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we were just talking market pull, and that's what it's all about, right? What do our customers need in the end? We are solving problems, no matter what kind of problems, right? And then technology is a kind of enabler. So if we understand a problem, we are searching for the right technologies. And then, of course, we use the traditional way. We read, we do research, yeah. We use social media. There are a lot of very great trend reports. We do podcasts like today, and there are a lot of cool podcast session you can listen in where you, there's actually too much information already on the market, but this is how we do it. But I think most important is to be very, very close to the market and to the customer and their actual problems.
So stay involved and also stay engaged, right, in the different communities, in the different also networks, if you will. So that's I guess a good recommendation. And did the way how you do this change post and prior COVID? Did something change
with regard to innovation management or how we look at innovation?
Yeah, and basically how you keep ears and eyes open for identifying new needs or new technologies.
I mean, of course, the way of interacting, especially with the customer, had to change because we were not allowed to travel. But I would say the foundation, a close customer relation, did not change, right? Mm-hmm. We all experienced that working remotely works pretty well, right? So I would not say that it fundamentally changed. Maybe it became even more prominent. And also everybody got more aware how important it is to stay close to the customer and that it takes maybe a different approach doing it the digital way.
I agree. And how does this now connect to your innovation management or to your technology and innovation management process at Körber Supply Chain? Can you maybe describe, how it looks like, what elements are vital to it and how this connects to identifying, emerging needs and emerging technologies?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably targeting a little bit to how does the innovation management process look like?
Yeah.
It's not so structured. And now it depends, of course, what do we consider to be innovation, right? If we talk about, let's say, market pull, I mean, then it's pretty straightforward. Of course, the sales is closest to the market and closest to the customer. So it's then our internal tasks to be connected internally, ensure that we can bundle all these different sources that we have from peers, from sales colleagues, but of course also from colleagues all over the organization that are seeing or listening to something interesting, right? I think that is the major challenge to aggregate it. And I mean, you can have super structured processes, but at the end, it's about a one-to-one communication, right? Yeah. Just give the people a call or just make them aware. Please call me if you see something, right? I think that's very crucial to it. And then, I mean, there are these traditional processes, how these kind of funnel processes, how you prioritize certain trends and how you translate it into new products and ideas, right? But that's, we can call it innovation if we want to. I would call it product development. Of course, everybody is asking for digital solutions. Here's the data, but then it's the question, what do we make with the data, right? So you need somebody with a great idea. But of course, then it's super important to get it back and link to the organization, right? Because of course, at the end, we have to sell mature products to our customers that are safe, reliable, secure.
Yeah, and there is this expectation, of course, right? Especially of your clients. Okay. And how is that with partners? Do you, for example, regularly involve partners, along the supply chain? Did you already, open up doing open innovation? How is that?
I think it is becoming more and more, right? Because what we discussed earlier on this sustainability or last mile, right? It's not only one part of the supply chain we're looking at, right? Basically, we can talk ecosystem. And that is also a strong vision of Körber, is the ecosystem approach, not only in terms of our current offering and bundling really to an ecosystem of a full one-stop shop approach, but I think also with regard to new product development or innovation, right? We cannot have everything in-house. We were just talking about this. How is the technology market developing, right? And there are so many new companies with new features or new cool stuff. I mean, how could we do all of this in our own? But identifying the most promising ones and partnering up, that's for me definitely the way forward, and also what we have started to do in my departments. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any, you know, team members specifically delegated to that task, or is this something everybody's picking up depending on what or he or she is getting the information from?
A couple of years back, actually, we started with a kind of scouting approach. So we're very dedicated to a specific technology or a very specific industry, but it was like a bit too disconnected, I would say, right? Because you need a problem to solve, right? As I said earlier, it's like we see a challenge or a problem that we want to solve, and then we are looking for the right technology that could help us. So it's rather that we have a challenge and a task, and then the teams working on this are watching out for what could fit.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And just before, you know, you said, okay, it's oftentimes one-on-one communication, right? So, you know, call me if you find something interesting, for example. How does this work with the, you know, number of employees you actually have? Are there, I don't know, any good ways, based on your experience, how to drive collaboration or at least drive transparency for these very early pieces of nuggets of gold, something even in the innovation process?
I mean, that's really my personal experience. I've not just had within Kerber, also with my previous jobs. It's really not too formal, not too process-driven, because it is, as you said, right? You think about, with that amount of employees, you need a formal process because how to handle all of this, right? But it's not that you have like these 1,000 calls every day, right?
No.
You could select a very proactive approach saying, okay, this is our challenge, send in all your ideas, and you might get a lot. But if you just have it on a, here we are, if you have an idea, you can call. And there are even board members in the Kerber group that offer this. Just call.
And it can make things slow, actually, right? Because if you need to wait, you know, if you need to wait until some decision board comes together, maybe once a quarter, and discuss something that needs to be, you know, approved prior to passing any gate whatsoever. So that can actually slow things down quite a bit, right? Yeah.
Totally. And I think it's really to find the right balance, because of course in a corporate you should follow a certain structure, but you need to allow for this kind of freedom. And sometimes also I feel like I'm working in a corporate, it must be super formal and process driven, but why? Who has defined that it has to be that way, right? At least not for the kickstart, right?
Exactly. Just humans have defined it. So why not redefining it? Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what is your perspective on talent? I mean, you know, logistics is at the core of the, at the heart of the economy, right? It's the engine and the connection that brings stuff from A to B, that makes a lot of things actually happen in a globalized world. And a lot of cool stuff is happening. You know, you shared some interesting insights, technologies, trends, and projects or innovations that are to come up soon. I had also a great discussion with DB Schenker on, you know, what they're doing. So there is actually quite a few things happening. But for a long time, it was just insanely attractive for especially tech talent to join the large tech companies, right? So how is, you know, talent acquisition going on your end? Do you, you know, have a good in-stream on new talent? Is it challenging? Are they even interested in logistics these days? What is your perspective?
Yeah, unfortunately, the industry was not very sexy in the past, right? I think recent developments are kind of helping that there is awareness for this industry. I mean, how would you know if when I finished school, I did not know anything about logistics, basically, because we have not been in touch with it, right? On a private basis, right? So there is another awareness for the industry as such. And I think this is what leaders have to do, promote the industry and show that it is sexy. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cool new technology. So I think also for tech talent, there are a lot of jobs, right? Especially if we look at everything around data analytics, data science, right? There is so much we can optimize. Yeah. So I think this is developing in the right direction. But as I said, yeah, leaders have to show the path a little bit, encourage, also support young talent, do podcasts like this one, right? Mm-hmm. Create awareness. And I think the industry is really changing. I mean, I'm now with the industry's yeah, a couple of years. So if I add academia to it, it's really long, long years. I don't count it now, but yeah, basically 15 years with academia, and a lot has changed, right? When I started and visited the first logistics conferences, when I still was a student, it was so conservative, antiquated. Mm-hmm. It still sometimes is, yeah, but it's a lot has changed. And this we can see, there's a new young generation. I mean, we have now this cool podcast, right? I mean, 5 years back, no way.
True.
So I think it's becoming a real attractive industry.
That's great to hear. And now, you know, if you know, let's imagine there is kind of, you know, an ambitious and driven student about to enter the real world, right? So coming mm-hmm. from academia, now there is, as said, a lot of ambition, a lot of energy. What advice would you give to him or her? And what advice should he or she ignore?
Yeah. Let's start with my advice. You said getting close to the industry. I would even go one step mm-hmm. further, get close to operations, right? Especially if you finish like kind of general management studies, you often end up in a very super interesting strategy job or so, right? So did I. But then, at least from the business perspective, you're sometimes kind of disconnected, right? There is still another real world in the industry, right? Who is doing sales? Who is earning the money? The strategy is not earning the money, firsthand at least. Mm-hmm. And so also to make a step aside and really learn the business, right? So I've chosen the difficult way, I would say, but I make it, and I can definitely advise to be very, very close to operations to really understand and then decide which way to go. And second part of your question, which advice to ignore?
Yeah.
I think there is no advice to ignore, because I mean, everybody who is giving you advice has an idea behind it. Yeah. So you should at least think about what he or she meant with it. And then you can say, okay, not relevant to me, but at least make up your mind around it. Right. But there's not the one and only there where I would say, that was a shitty advice. Right. So every advice brought me one step further at the end, even though I disagreed to some of them, of course, but they made me think and say, okay, if I disagree, how would I do it differently?
That's fair. Okay. And a very interesting perspective. And with that, we are already near the end of this episode. So Kerstin, let's try to summarize with everything we had, you know, trends, sustainability, innovation in logistics, and so on. What would be the, you know, three key takeaways that you would want listeners to take away from this episode from you?
Yeah, first, logistics is sexy. It's mm-hmm. a cool industry to work for. So is innovation. That's the second one. It's also very sexy. You just need to find the way to realize it. Don't give up. It takes some time and patience sometimes. And collaboration also across company borders. So we had this ecosystem talk. It will be key in the future, especially in innovation. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. And now let's look ahead. What can you expect from you in the future?
Of course, from me as a person, let's say in a business context, to talk promoting this industry and talk about it, create awareness, connect the people. And I mean, this is also what we do at Körber. We connect people to create great ideas, right? Because that's you need a great team. And I think this is also what we really stand for. And this will help us to bring even more cool solutions into the market soon.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's great. Well, and then let's look back. Finally, I also need to ask you this question. When you look back on your professional career, what would you say was your greatest innovation rockstar moment so far?
Yeah. It was basically just recently when I realized that I have a team that is capable to innovate despite or even because of a missing process, right? So we could just recently prove that we can handle innovation and that we can get something to market with a very hands-on driven approach. And it was basically the most successful one.
Most successful one even. All right. Yeah, that's an awesome rock star moment. Well, congratulations to this. And with this, we wrap up this episode already. We're done, Kerstin. It was a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you very much for being my guest.
Chris, thank you so much. It was a great pleasure too.
All right. And to everybody listening or watching, if you like the show, then leave us a rating or a review and share the podcast if you want to. And if you want to get in touch, then simply shoot us a message at info@innovationrockstars.show. Now that's it. Thanks for your time. See you in the next episode. Take care and bye-bye.
This was innovation rockstar Dr. Kirsten Hoefle from Kerber Supply Chain on change and sustainability in the logistics industry. If you would like to give us feedback on this episode or know someone, perhaps yourself, who also has some thrilling stories or insights to share from the world of corporate innovation, just shoot us a note at info@innovationrockstars.show. You like the show? Then leave us a rating and recommend it to others. For more inspiring innovation stories, visit our website at www.innovationrockstars.show or browse through our Innovation Rockstars channel on all major podcast platforms.